Turn with me this morning, please, in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 18. We'll be reading that in just a moment. This morning, I want to welcome everyone here. I want to thank you for coming, visitors that are with us. Thank you for being a part of the service this morning. I want to talk this morning in the next few moments about the great disappointment. The great disappointment. Philip Yancey, one of my favorite authors, wrote a book entitled Disappointment with God. He was brave enough to write about the fact that sometimes we can be disappointed with God and how we handle that and how we deal with that. No doubt all of us have had at some time in our lives disappointments that have happened. Maybe as a child you were disappointed that you didn't get a gift that you had wanted for Christmas or your birthday. Or maybe you have been hurt by someone. It's the extremes of disappointment. Maybe you've been hurt by someone and disappointed that someone you thought cared for you and loved you would dare say or do what they did to you. Maybe you've been disappointed in a church or a pastor. They have not lived up to your expectations, perhaps. And if you're here today and you are a pastor or minister or former pastor, maybe you have been disappointed in church members who didn't live up to the standard that you felt they should. Irregardless, the fact is that everyone has been disappointed at one time or another, I'm sure. Disappointed at maybe the nation we live in and things that have taken place, etc. Disappointment. I want to talk about a disappointment from John 18. I want to talk about the denial of Peter. As we kind of zero in on this coming Easter season, Peter's denial came on the heels of what we celebrate this morning as communion. Remember, it was Jesus who warned Peter, actually warned all the disciples, that according to the Old Testament prophecy, they would smite the shepherd and the sheep would flee. And when he quoted that Old Testament verse, it was Peter who said, that won't be me. And several of the other disciples said, no, we won't do that. But Peter especially, very vehemently said, no, it won't be me. Though I die for you, I will never, ever deny you. And remember, it was Jesus who said, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will have denied me three times. And that record of what happened is found in all of four of the Gospels. In Matthew, it is recorded that this happened. In Mark, it is recorded. And in Luke, it is recorded. In Matthew, that version, and all of them have a little bit of a few extra details to add to what actually happened. But in the Matthew version, the Bible says that after Peter denied the Lord the third time and he heard the cock crow, he went out and he wept bitterly. Those words, Peter wept bitterly. In the Mark version, Mark 14, simply says that when he heard the cock crow, he wept. He just simply wept is all it says of him. In the Luke version, chapter 22 of Luke, the Bible says that as Jesus was being escorted out, Peter denied the Lord, and the Lord looked at him. Luke gives a little more description, and he says the Lord looked over at him, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. But when it comes to the John version, and that's where you're at this morning, John chapter 18, starting in verse 15, we'll notice that there is no turning glance from Jesus recorded. There is no look. Peter doesn't turn, and there are no tears. Maybe it is because John felt Peter had suffered enough. Maybe it's because he felt that Peter had endured enough shame for that denial that John didn't need to add those additional details. Not that the other writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, not that they wanted to add insult to injury to Peter, but perhaps John, being a very close friend of Peter, just felt it was sufficient to just tell the story. John chapter 18, verse 15, if you would please. And Peter, Simon Peter, followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That was probably John. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" he said. Peter responds, "I am not." First denial. Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now, skip to verse 25, please, as we pick up the story there. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Denial number two. One of the servants of the high priests, a relative of him, whose ear Peter cut off, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, three times, third time, and immediately a rooster crowed, immediately. So Peter denies the Lord, just as Jesus had predicted that he would. He denied the Lord and enters in then the great disappointment. Now all of us here today might ask ourselves the question, would we have denied the Lord? Would we have denied the Lord? And I think our initial reaction would want to be that, I would never do that. I wouldn't want to deny the Lord. And yet, how many of us, without a raise of hands, would probably have done as Peter did? Under the pressure of the moment, under the pressure and the threat of being arrested and crucified perhaps himself, he buckled beneath that pressure and he denied the Lord. It is a great disappointment, and yet the Lord is going to use it. I want to point out three things this morning. Number one, Peter was disappointed in himself. There was no one that felt the sting of disappointment greater than Peter did because he denied the Lord. He was disappointed in himself. Have you ever been disappointed in yourself? Have you ever been disappointed at something you said? After you said it, you went, "Oh, I should never have said that." Anybody here want to be honest? This side's a little more honest than this side. Sure, disappointed. Anybody here ever do something and after you did it, you thought to yourself, "Why did I do that?" Anybody? Okay, I'm among friends. Disappointment. We've disappointed people ourselves. We perhaps have not denied the Lord. I hope we haven't denied the Lord, but even if we have, the Lord has mercy and forgiveness for us. But this sense of disappointment, Peter was disappointed in himself. He felt, I'm sure, like a failure. Here he was, the designated leader of this band of disciples. They had already experienced the sting of Judas's betrayal of the Lord, and all of them were aghast to think that anyone would have gone to the authorities and betrayed where Jesus was for 30 pieces of silver after the sting of Judas's denial. And here Peter denies the Lord. He's in that same line. He's disappointed in himself because he feels like a failure. And maybe you're here today and you feel like a failure. Not that you've denied the Lord, but that you have not been all that you could be for the Lord. Or maybe you haven't lived up to a standard that you've set for yourself and you feel like you're a failure. Not necessarily maybe for the Lord, but maybe you feel like a failure as a husband, men. Maybe you're here today, men, and you feel like, boy, have I disappointed my wife? Have I disappointed my family with some of my actions? Or maybe one of the ladies that are here, I'm a disappointment as a wife, as a mother. I've done things that I'm disappointed with myself. I feel like a failure. I feel like they'd be better off without me. Boy, be very careful when you deal with disappointment, because I want to tell you right now, the devil is going to take like that like bait to a mouse. They're going to jump right on that thing. Right on that thing. As you know, I superintend our camp up on the Washougal River. There's about 26 acres of land there. And guess what? There are mice. And every now and then I'll get someone that uses the camp and said, I saw a mouse. And what I want to say is, duh. We have a 26-acre mouse ranch here. Come on. If you're going to be out in the woods, you're going to see mice, right? How many of us Northwesterners know that, right? You're going to see mice. And so I set little traps. Now, if some of you have an aversion to trapping mice, I apologize ahead of time. But I don't apologize for doing it. So I set little traps. And I've learned where the mice like to come. And so I set the trap every time the same place, the same place. I use the same bait. I use peanut butter. It's fail-proof. It's just great. And so every time, and so not every time I go to the camp, but oftentimes I'll go, especially this time of year, and I'll find one, and I'll give him a proper burial. And if I catch him alive, I am humane. I'll let him loose out in the tall grass. Give him a chance to come back again. Here's my point. I never fail to catch mice in those places using the same bait. And I'm sure I've caught the same mouse a couple different times. Why? Because the mouse cannot resist going for the bait. They just can't resist going for the bait. And see, that's what the enemy does for us with failure and disappointment. He baits the trap. And sometimes he uses the same bait every time, and he sets the trap just waiting for us to come into it. And once we do, with self-pity or with feeling like a failure or feeling like we have failed and who needs us and they'd be better off without us, those are the thoughts of the enemy, folks. Amen? And we need to learn not only to try to avoid the bait, but to understand that when we fail, when we disappoint someone, it isn't the end of the story. It's just an opportunity to do better the next time. It's God not looking at us with demeaning eyes. It's the enemy. Come on. So here was Peter, disappointed in himself because of his failures, because of his mistake, because of his wrong decisions. And I think Peter became his worst critic, as we sometimes will do when we have disappointed someone. We become our worst critic. I speak from experience. I know what it is to have disappointed people or to have disappointed my family and beat myself up over that. Just beat myself up. But I'm learning that the Holy Spirit is a wonderful helper and guide in dealing with disappointments. Just the other day, I was deeply disappointed by someone who I count as a friend. No one here at all in the church. But I was deeply disappointed. And I have wrestled with how to deal with that over the last couple of days. I hold no grudge. I hold no animosity. I hold tears because of what happened. And I'm going to deal with the situation. And this message perhaps was birthed out of that disappointment, and how Jesus handled it is how I'm going to try to handle it. Second thing I want to point out, not only was Peter disappointed in himself, but perhaps, I don't know this for sure, but perhaps it is only human nature, but perhaps the disciples were disappointed in Peter as well. Maybe the disciples were disappointed with Peter. Because see, they were all a close-knit bunch of guys. Not only the disciples, the men, but also the ladies who followed, who were also followers of Jesus. Perhaps they were disappointed with Peter. Peter, you're a leader. You're a designated leader. Now they never voted on that. Jesus never said, Peter, you're going to be the leader. Peter just kind of took that role. Because sometimes you get a group of 12 people together, and if you've ever been on jury duty, you know this is true. Sometimes the natural leader will rise to the top. Just naturally rise to the top. Some will push their way to the top, but others will just naturally rise to them. People will kind of migrate to that leader. And I think that's what happened with Peter. He was just a natural leader. And so they looked at him, and I think the disciples were disappointed. Now, I don't know that this happened. This is just my sanctified imagination. How many know pastors are allowed that a few minutes, right? But I could just see the disciples huddled together after the resurrection. They're not sure what to do. Maybe they haven't seen Jesus yet. And they're looking at each other going, oh my God, goodness, what happened? What happened? He's crucified. We buried him. What are we going to do? And maybe they're huddled together and someone says, well, it wouldn't have happened if Judas hadn't betrayed the Lord. Shame on Judas. And then someone else might have said, Peter might have said, well, it may not have happened if we all didn't just run. And I can see John over in the corner going, wait a minute. Correction. I did not run. I stayed with the Lord. I went into the room. I was with his mother at the crucifixion, so you other guys are scum, but I didn't run. And then I can just see Peter saying, but wait a minute, John. You were in the Garden of Gethsemane with him, and when those swords started coming, we fled. You fled. John said, no, I had to go to the bathroom. That's where I was headed. No. No, John. We all fled. And then maybe all the fingers turned toward Peter and said, but wait a minute. Peter, we might have ran, but you denied the Lord. None of the rest of us were asked the question, do you know him? You were our leader, and you denied the Lord. We are so disappointed at you. Now, I don't know that happened, but it makes a good story. But I can only imagine that the disciples were probably disappointed with Peter. I would have been disappointed with Peter. You would have been disappointed with Peter. We're disappointed at leaders sometimes when they don't live up to our expectations. May not be fair, but that's the price of leadership. But the third thing that I want to say this morning is that nowhere in Scripture, nowhere that I've been able to find, there is no hint at all, except maybe one little verse. Other than that, and I don't even think that is proof, there is no evidence anywhere that Jesus was disappointed with Peter. Peter was disappointed with Peter. The disciples probably were disappointed with Peter, but nowhere do I find that Jesus was disappointed with Peter. The one verse that I refer to is in the Luke passage, I believe, where it says that Jesus, as they escorted him out, looked at Peter. He looked at him. But I would rather think that look was a look of pity or a look of compassion. Because remember, it was Jesus who had predicted what Peter would do. So when you think about it, Peter simply fulfilled what Jesus knew he was going to do. He knew he was going to deny him. And it was a fulfillment of prophecy anyway. But nowhere do you see that Jesus was disappointed at Peter. You might say, and I might say, I have disappointed the Lord. And I have said that on many occasions. I have disappointed the Lord. By my actions, by my thoughts, by my words. But I have never, in all of my 60 years of serving Jesus, accepting Jesus when I was about 7 years old, in all my 60 years of serving Jesus, I have never felt like Jesus was disappointed in me. Never. Because he knows that I am human. And he knows that a human has the propensity for making mistakes. and for disappointing the Lord. Eddie got up to bat when he was in Little League. It was a playoff game over at Salmon Creek. And he had struggled at the bat that day. Eddie was a great ball player. He struggled at the bat that day. Came near the end, and the team was down by a run, and I think there was a couple guys on base, and it was Eddie's turn to bat. Mom and I were anxious in the stands. Remember, sweetie? And Eddie came up, and so we're praying. Jesus, home run, Jesus, home run, Jesus, home run. But the coach, I'm not thinking real clearly this morning. What do you, when a batter is replaced by a pitch hit? Thank you. The coach said, Eddie, we're going to pitch hit you with another batter. And of course, Eddie's a good player and he respects the coach, and so he goes back to the bench and up comes the other player. We were disappointed. Only in the sense that our son wasn't able to at least show what he could do. But we were not disappointed in the coach. It was one of the finest coaches Eddie ever had. He's passed away now, but I want to tell you, he was a fine man. And he made the right call. He did. He made the right call. The pitch hitter got up and he struck out, as I remember. And we were disappointed because we lost the game. But we weren't disappointed at the players. They gave it their best shot. We were out of the playoffs at that point. We're disappointed, but we were not disappointed in those people because they gave it their best, right? And I can't speak for other parents. There may have been parents that took their sons aside and said, I am so disappointed at you. You didn't hit the ball. You had. There may have been. I don't know. I didn't hear that. But I'm going to tell you, Cheryl and I didn't do that. Like you would have done, as good parents, we encouraged him. Said, son, you did your best. You're just in a little slump right now. I forget how old Eddie was, but you know, he didn't care about that. He was disappointed in himself. But we didn't beat him up over it. And I want to tell you right now, Jesus doesn't beat you up when you don't. When you strike out, he doesn't beat you up when you're not hitting well. He doesn't beat you up when you're in a slump. And how many here have ever been in a slump in your spiritual life? Come on. Jesus doesn't beat you up, but he encourages you. And that's what he did with Peter. I want you to turn just a couple pages in your Bibles to John chapter 21, verse 15. They're at the Sea of Galilee, they are going to see Jesus no more after this. This is the third time he showed himself to them. Verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. Verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. And when you were old, without strength, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. That's a prophecy about how Peter will die. This he spake, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. It is not an accident, I believe, that Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Three times he denied the Lord. Now, Peter, you've got three times to show me what you're made of. Do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? You know I love you. Do you love me? You know I love you. Then just follow me. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Get back to work. Get back to doing what I've called you to do. Follow me. You see, the key to overcoming disappointment is to love, is to know that we are loved and to let someone else know they are loved. Someone that has disappointed you, I think the best thing that you can do is to somehow express to them that you still love them. The best thing that can be done for us is for the Lord to let us know that He still loves us. We may have disappointed Him, but He's not disappointed in us. So He said to Peter three times, just, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, you know I do, you know I do, you know I do. And Jesus said, then just follow me, just get back to work. It will be later in life that Peter will write the words found in 1 Peter 3:15, and he'll say this. It's the only reference that I'm aware of that maybe he even has an inkling toward his denial. And it says this. Be ready always to give a defense for the reason of the hope that lies within you. Be ready always to speak up for Jesus. That's what he said. He learned his lesson. Amen? Never deny the Lord again. Even when they arrested him in Rome and they put him on a cross upside down by his request because he said, I am not worthy to die as my Lord died, he would not deny the Lord. He stuck with it. The great disappointment ends up being the great victory because Jesus loved him and allowed Peter the privilege of reaffirming that love for Christ. Amen? Amen? Love those who disappoint you. Love those who disappoint you. And if you disappoint someone, ask them to love you in return. It's the greatest way to not get in that trap of feeling like a failure and that somehow you'll never be the same again. No, disappointments can make us better. The great disappointment made Peter a better man. Amen? Amen. 15 after. Boy, I went overtime. How disappointing. How many still love me? About half of you. That's not bad. Amen. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We confess we no doubt have disappointed you many times, but you have never been disappointed in us. You love us, Lord. Your love overshadows any disappointment. We thank you, Jesus. Don't let anyone here leave today feeling beaten down or abused because of their disappointments. But rather help them to see this as an opportunity to grow in Christ and to reaffirm their love to the Lord, as Peter did. Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus said, follow me. Help us to follow you, Lord. Follow you. Just get up and follow you. Keep doing what we've been called to do. Follow you. We thank you for this communion. Thank you for our worship. Thank you for our time together. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering of praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Thanks for coming. God bless you. We'll see you, if not before.